I believe they're called enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
Welcome back to another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your hosts. He's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. And we're putting a different spin on this week. Whole different spin. I'm going to try to do this thing where people listen to the show. Is that not going to go over well?
Well, I don't know how to make that happen, so I hope you've got some ideas because I have none.
You know what my favorite idea is? For people to listen to the show? A new episode of The Five Count. Everybody's favorite segment as voted on by our Twitter followers. I just made all of that shit up.
Sounded good, though.
Yeah, it sounded good. I'm good at making things up. So, this week's Five Count is the top... That's annoying, huh? My stupid work shirt. That's going to be annoying throughout the entire...
Was it made of Teflon?
It's made of ass right now. Like the rest of everything else is made of just giant ass.
All
right. This week's five count is going to be the top five all-time professional wrestling entrance songs. Were we right? All
yes.
Time? Yeah, okay. Because I wasn't sure. Because we were spitballing. We were kind of saying, are we going to do five of the current or five of all time? And frankly, the current, they all sound the same.
It's tough to differentiate.
You could put
current.
Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens themes in a blender, and I couldn't tell you which one's which.
Yeah.
You could also
put peanut butter in there, too.
Yeah, God, I love peanut butter.
There you go.
Let's do some peanut butter.
Protein.
Right. So let's, why don't you start? Because I got my five, but I've got to, I gotta put them in order. So why don't you start at number five, work your way up. Well, I over here categorize my schmutz.
All right. I struggled to come up with a fifth one. I came up with about four after thinking about it for a few minutes. And then the fifth one, I really couldn't decide. So I'm sure I'm probably forgetting somebody's theme or glossing over somebody that's obvious. But I tried to come up with a fifth one, and I ended up just coming up with...
Wait. Before we get into this, I want to build the suspense here. Now, let me ask you a question before you get into your list.
Yeah, so close.
I wanted to, because I wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
When you came up with a favorite entrance song, was it the favorite song that you liked, or was it how your wrestler reacted to it, or was it how it music hits, how it kind of detailed the wrestler? What did you take into account?
Yeah, it was things like how it fit with the wrestler who used the theme.
That's
right,
what
it was
to say. I'm a piece of shit.
How the crowd reacted to it, right? If it was a song that people reacted to when they heard it playing, it's a song that people associate with a wrestler, like even if maybe people outside of wrestling fans might hear it, may know who it is or what it's in reference to.
Okay.
Stuff like that, I guess, like just as far as, you know, not necessarily most famous, but ones that I thought were good themes that are identified with wrestlers and that are pretty well known, I think. That's kind of what I went with.
Okay, so we had the same criteria. Okay, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. You may continue.
For number five? Okay.
Oh, and you're going to go five.
And then you're going to go...
And then I'm going to go five and four. Then you're going to go four, three. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I went... I put Chris Jericho as number five just because I felt like when he debuted that it was a song that was... It was kind of a different song, I think. Like that was the era where they were, the Attitude Era, obviously things were kind of changing as far as wrestlers and characters and themes. And his debut from when he was in WCW and came over to the WWF in 1999 was pretty important, I think, as far as his career, and it made a pretty big impact. Obviously, the feuds he had after that. And building his character. And its theme slightly changed a little bit over the years, but generally stayed the same, I think, just maybe kind of different riffs on it and stuff. So I put Jericho at number five because I felt like it's a long-standing theme. It's gone for a long time. People know, you know, identify that with him, and it was, I think it was a pretty cool song. So.
Okay, I think that's a good one. That's not one I thought of. I tried to think about like different organizations and different time periods too, so mine's going to kind of be everywhere. One of my current favorite right now are the Briscoe Brothers, Reach for the Sky, because I feel like that song describes the Briscoe Brothers, who they are, and once the music hits, it goes Reach for the Sky, boys, with the gunshots. I mean, that is the Briscoe Brothers to me. So that was number five. Number four, I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You heard the glass break. You know ass whoopings were a coming. That one, I mean, that Stone Cold still gets played to this day. So, I mean, there's no more iconic song for a wrestler than Stone Cold.
That's a good choice.
Thanks.
Number four on my list, I had D-Generation X for similar reasons, I guess, that I had to Jericho, right? So that was their theme debuted in late 97, you know, which was kind of towards the beginning of the Attitude Era. Things were changing in the WWF at that time and I guess in the wrestling business. And that song was made specifically for them, you know, by a band. And it, you know, it changed the themes of, you know, Shawn had used his theme for a long time, and they kind of now, him and Hunter together with China and Rick Rude as a faction, which all, again, was, I guess, I don't know, not to use a term that WWE uses, but revolutionary or, you know, game-changing type faction.
So that was the theme music revolution?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I don't know, yeah, so I threw that in there because I liked the song. I remember when I was at the time that came out, I was like 15 years old, and you know, it was kind of a different, you know, twist on wrestling themes, and I thought it was a really cool song. And it's obviously, again, that's another one that stayed with them through, you know, the different incarnations of DX over the years, and even with the reunions that they had in the 2000s. So I had DX at number four.
Iconic. Good. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm behind it.
And then number three, I had Hulk Hogan's theme from WWF back in the late 80s, early, you know, into the 90s. So again, I think that's one where when you hear it, right, it's, you know, people go nuts for it. Even when he comes back today, I think people obviously recognize the song. And that era of his started when I was too young, right? He became champion in 84. I was only 2 years old at the time. But I think that was an era where they just really kind of started using theme songs for guys at that time. A lot of guys didn't really use music before that. And even into like the mid to late 80s, there were still guys that didn't use music for a while. And then it became a normal thing. And that was, I think, one of the first themes that really caught on with identifying a wrestler with it, and, you know, people remember it, you know, Real American as the song to this day.
Was it a toss up between that and side one, track one of the Fifth Symphony? Not obvious enough for?
No, it Smells Like Teen Spirit.
No, I mean, how can you, Hulk Hogan, but you, one thing you left out, he actually had a music video for it.
Sure.
Yeah, like that was on Beavis and Butthead. Like that was iconic.
He's a real American, man.
God, he still is a real American.
I don't know
American.
Why you're crapping on America. I mean,
no, I'm not crapping on America.
It's Labor Day weekend, you know. I don't.
I'm just crapping on the racist that is Hulk Hogan. I'm just kidding. Like, it's a bad time to do that. There's a lot of political incorrectness in this country. I just want to.
You had the Briscoes at number five, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, please. Nobody knows that Jay Briscoe went in on. Never mind. I'm not going to go into it. Yeah, but totally forgot about that too. Jay Briscoe's the man. Number three, I've got Taz. Taz's ECW entrance song. When the first riff hits, it's from Kiss. Oh my God, what's the name of the song? Creatures of the Night or Nightmare? Oh, now it's going to bother me. Taz's opening riff is from Kiss. I forget what song it is, but then the way the song goes, it's, I don't need a weapon, my hands are my weapon, and that's who Taz was, and I think that just fit his character perfectly. It was dark, it was heavy, and he was walking out with the towel. It was just completely badass. Number two, I got to go with the Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen theme song, with you hear the horses galloping, and then it goes right into the just that badass late 80s, early 90s, end of Lethal Weapon kind of movie riff. It was just awesome, and I still listen to it to this day, and it still gets me pumped up. I love that song.
Solid.
Thanks.
Okay. So I got two and one now?
You got two. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
What do you mean?
I'm excited. I just hope we don't have
really,
the same
you sound real excited.
No, I'm excited.
Here we go.
Oh, no. It's poison. Oh, no.
I put Undertaker at number two.
That's a good call.
I think that's obviously he had different themes, of course,
Oh, the Limp Bizkit version, right? That's when you.
Nope, that's not the one. Kid Rock? I guess I should say, I don't know what you would call them. Dead Man Undertaker version.
Kane or, the Undertaker's music, right?
Sure. The original one was good. The one that he used for a long time, from 94 to 98, and the one that he's been using now, you know, these days. They, again, they changed it up a little bit in the 90s when he was like the, you know, with corporate ministry or whatever, the Ministry of Darkness, those types of guys, and I'm not counting the Limp Bizkit and the Kid Rock versions of his song. The standard Undertaker entrance, I thought, was really good. The theme alongside his entrance is, you know, very famous, I think, and for people that have been at shows live where he was there, whether it was even a house show or a pay-per-view or whatever you've gone to, I think it was... you know, I think it's just a theme that fits the character really well. And
plus, everybody pops once you hear the
gong.
The gong, yeah, the bell tower.
So that's a big part of it, too. And then number one, I had Stone Cold as my number one.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
because, again, I think with the glass shattering, and he's one of, if not the most popular wrestler that's ever been in the WWF/E, and that song is, of course, recognizable and identified with him. He doesn't make a lot of appearances today, so it doesn't really get an opportunity to be out there, but when he does...
Which is good, it's not overexposed to me.
You know? Yeah. So that's what that was my...
I feel like you left one off. I feel like it's my number one. The Ultimate Warriors theme song. To me, growing up as a kid, there was nothing more badass than the Ultimate Warrior running down to the ring, shaking the ropes to his metal theme song. And I think we owe Jim Johnson a bit of credit, even though he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame, but like Slick is, I think, or Coco Beware or something. Like, put Jim Johnson in the Hall of Fame, okay? My Twitter campaign for 2018, but I just thought that was the coolest, heaviest, most. I think it's the song is called Frantic, right? I forget the name. Now it's gonna bother me.
I don't know. It's on one of my gym playlists.
Right. It gets you pumped up, and it just that song musically is who the Ultimate Warrior was, like mentally and physically. And I don't think any song has ever fit a wrestler as well as that one did. I think that was a really good one.
Yeah.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
It's tough. I mean, there are songs that I like for wrestlers over the years. You know, I try to think of ones from different companies. Like,
yeah, I try to think of WCW.
Yeah, I try to think of one from WCW, and I come up with none. Like, I really
NWO?
That's not a bad one. Yeah, NWO is a good one. Just from like the era, I guess, where they were doing really well. Like, I didn't put Flares in there because it's, you know, it's a song from like a movie, really, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, and then same thing with like Macho Man. It's like a pomp and circumstance. It's a graduation song. So I left those out. I tried to, like, Sting, you know, I don't know.
I was thinking the same thing about Sting, yeah.
I was trying to find that.
Remember, like, the one in the early 90s? Like, man, Nicole Sting!
Yeah, that one I came up with, and the Crow Sting, but I didn't feel like those warranted inclusion.
Do that from that one.
Other guys' songs, that they were, like, Luger's song was just, like, a generic song that's used on, like, baseball highlight videos, and then, like, DDP's song was Smells Like Teen Spirit with a couple different chords in it. Like, it's... So I couldn't really think of that those guys
were included. I had Mr. Perfect's really close.
That's
I thought
good.
Mr. Perfect was a good one. Also, and it was tough because like I wanted to include so many ECW songs, they're like legitimate songs.
Yeah.
Like to me, Man in the Box fit Tommy Dreamer to a T. That's who he was. When Raven came, God, there was ECW was so good. Like when Raven came out to Gotta Keep Them Separated by Offspring, New Jack coming out to Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, Natural Born Killers, like those are just so good. Everything sucks that's not 1995. Sorry, has to be said, man. That was a good list. That was fun. It was something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Maybe next week we can do top five Kenny Omega matches.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of top five, no, that's we. You know, if you guys listen, we're available on the internet. So if you guys want to give us your top five theme songs, Red Dragon to me, I was going to put it on there because I love the Red Dragon theme. I wonder what Adam Cole's is going to be for NXT.
Yeah, I thought of those guys too. I guess if we were doing one that was, we discussed like whether we want to do top five themes of all time.
Red Dragon would have made my current theme.
Yeah, current themes I was thinking like, but again, like with Red Dragon and Adam Cole, like can I still count their ROH themes?
We can always count them, man. Yeah. Before Bobby Dragon Slay, Kai Rye, Cole Panama, whatever their group name is now. What is it? They didn't say on NXT, right?
I haven't heard a name for the group yet that I'm aware of.
Somebody said Dishonorables, and I don't know if that's a shoot or if that's a work.
I don't know. I saw the segment at the end of NXT from Wednesday, but it just seemed I don't really think that they named it. They just kind of listed out their names. I think it was Nigel or something like that. And then they did the whole angle at the end of the show with McIntyre and Roddy and all that. So
on this week's episode, we're just freeballing the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about... you had texted me the other day about the PWI 500.
That's a son of a monkey. I was just about to bring that up,
And too. You sent me the top 10. So I haven't looked at the whole 500, but I looked at the top 10. And we briefly discussed a little bit about it. And then I didn't know if you wanted to get into it any further than what we kind of got. You know, do you want me to read?
In case anybody heard...
I'll pull up the PWI 500, at least the top 10.
Can I tell the people a story about how I almost got stabbed in the gym while you pull that up?
Yeah, you can. That's going to take me a minute.
I want people... Do me a favor. How would you categorize me as like a person? Like looking-wise? Like a piece of shit? Like a guy...
You mean like an 11 out of 10?
No. No, but like a guy like... Maybe I'm a target. Maybe I'm a target for bullies is what I am, right? So I want to tell people this story, what happened to me today.
Ryback.
Oh, I'm Ryback. Tremendous. I hate women's wrestling, and I think women are just there for eye candy if I'm Ryback. So I'm at the gym the other day, right? And I'm finishing my set. I'm there with the natural. I'm there with the old ball and chain. I'm just kidding.
She doesn't listen anymore, right? So we're fine.
So Carrie and I are there, and I'm finishing my set, and this guy comes over to me. He looks like a bit of a white supremacist, like a shaved head, a little chubby kid. And I'm going to curse now, so block your ears. He comes over to me. He's like, do you move my fucking weights? I'm like, who? I actually LOL'd. And I was like, I'm sorry, like what? He's like, did you move my weights? I was like, no. I'm like, dude, I literally had just did four sets on this bench, and there was nobody there. There were weights on the side of the bench, but there was nobody at the gym. And the kid's like, did you move my weights or not? I was like, no, man. I'm like, I it was an incline. I made it a flat bench, and I did my set. He's like, it's a real fucking dick move. I'm like, who are you talking to, man? So I'm done cursing now. So I said, I apologize to the guy because he looked like somebody pooped in his cornflakes that morning, you know. So I don't want to be that guy.
That's tough, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
You don't want to put any sugar in there. But yeah. No, you don't want the feces. Yeah, you don't want fecal matter.
You don't
cornflakes.
I don't want that.
That's not good.
Maybe some Raisin Bran. So now I'm like. Now I apologize to this guy. I'm like, sorry, man. Like, I didn't know you were there. And he's like, you don't have to troll about it. So like, he's straight up using internet terms at me in public. I didn't even tell you the rest of the story. So now I'm taking the natural. We're getting out of there because I had to be at work, unfortunately. And like I said, I'm with the wife over there. So as I'm walking away, my buddy asked me for a spot. So I was like, oh, I kind of want to get out of here. So I'm just giving him a spot on the bench. And I see this guy who I will politely refer to as Jeremy from the Pearl Gym video. I think you can draw your own conclusion. So now Jeremy is looking at me, and he's staring daggers through me in the mirror. And I'm like, I really got to get out of here. So I'm going to walk, and he's literally staring at me. On any other day, I would have stepped in there and showed him how to swing. We would have shot five. I got two sets of gloves in the trunk. I'll give him a set of gloves, and that'll be it. So we go upstairs, and I tell the guy at the desk, I'm like, yo, there's an incredibly unhinged dude downstairs. And then like three other girls had come up from upstairs because he's literally doing dumbbell presses, screaming cursives at himself in the mirror. So now I understand it's more than just he's maybe roid raging and has a rough day. There's something rotten in the state of Denver. You know what I'm saying? So as the week progresses, other people have come up to me telling me what was going on. Like two of my friends that were there said, he saw them from across the room and started yelling at him, saying, I know you guys are talking about me. I know I'm a big P word and things like that. And this other guy at the gym.
P word?
Yeah, P word. Playful.
You drop an F-bomb on the show, but you can't, whatever the P word is not.
Well, no, now I said I was done cursing, so I don't want to curse again. No. So now this other guy at the gym, I call him Gary the Great. He's the nicest guy I know. He said he heard this dude talking like out loud about shooting and like bullet in the head and stuff like that. So now I'm worried. So I went to the gym manager. I'm like, yo, you got to get this guy out of here. Either that or we're going to throw this kid a sheet party. You know what a sheet party is? You wait behind the door, you walk in, you throw a sheet over his head, then you take him out, right? But I'm legit worried now. I'm afraid to urinate in my own gym because I don't know who's watching me from behind. This is some scary stuff, man. What do I do? I'm looking for help from the stallion over here.
No. What did the gym manager say when you talked to him?
They said he's never made direct threats to somebody. if you're standing there benching, talking about bullet in the head in 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months, 3 weeks, bullet in the head, I'm worried, okay? I don't want to die. And then the other guy, I was stuck inside the guy at the gym. He's like, you're screwed, man. You're on his radar. I'm like, I think this is the guy from Billy Madison. I hope he crosses me off the list at some point. I don't know. What do I do, man?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you just see if you, next time you go to the gym, if he's there, and then if anything happens from there, then I would just go back to the gym manager and be like, listen, like, we talked about this guy last time. Like, he's here again. He's really, like, you know.
He's scaring people.
Harassing me, basically, at the gym. He's, you know, just causing issues for other people. He's causing issues. I can't feel comfortable working out here. Like, if you don't do anything about this guy, I'm just going to quit the gym and go somewhere else. And that's basically what I would, and then see if he does anything. And if he doesn't, then I'd probably end up, you know, if the guy ends up approaching you or, you know,
I'm swinging on
threatening you or something.
Because he always wears a hoodie. I don't know what's under the hoodie either.
Yeah.
Guy could be packing.
I'll let the cops know too. I mean, just
like, terroristic threats. The cops are right there.
Yeah. Just I don't... threatening people. He's running around like a crazy person. Like, he seems like he needs help. I told the gym manager, like, and he's not really doing anything about it. And I don't feel comfortable going to this gym.
She's anymore. Not really doing anything about it. Yeah.
The gym manager is a woman?
Yeah.
Probably should have mentioned that earlier. I didn't think that was, well, you know. But, yeah, either way.
Well, I don't know what she identifies as. I don't want to
characterize people anymore. Okay, all right, that's fair. Yeah, so that's probably what I would do. And then if you feel to the point where the guy's really causing a ruckus or he's going to be a threat, then you let the cops know. I'm like, listen, this guy's a nutcase, and he's walking around. He's threatening me. He's getting into people's business. He's clearly got a problem. You know, gym manager's not doing anything about it. You know, I don't know what to do here, but I don't feel safe in this gym, and other people around me don't feel safe. You know, I got my fiance here with me. Like, I really don't want this guy around anywhere. So either I'm going to quit this gym and go somewhere else. You know, but
well, we got a lot of people's safety. Yeah. Yeah. See, now, what if, like, let's say he gets too close to the old enforcer. I swing on him. I take him out, right? And then turns out there's something wrong with him mentally. And I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
What do I do in this situation?
Well, if this guy's really, like, Steve Buscemi, then I wouldn't be doing that.
I don't know, man. I'm worried. My luck, he's one of our three listeners. He's listening to the show right now, right? That'd be awesome. If that's the case, Jeremy... Love you.
Jeremy's spoken, my friend.
Yeah, he's going to speak at the gym today. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who gets that reference, kudos to you. So that's my gym story. So if the enforcer's not here next week on the All Night Long Wrestling podcast, just know that it didn't go too well for me. I hope I'm here.
Yeah, I think we all.
I was telling Jimmy if that happens, I would be like ghost tight, right? I'd be like, oh, I'm trying to get a pump at the gym, and I get murked at the gym. Like, it's like I'm hanging out in Gordon Heights. Trying to get my lift on. Trying to do some buys and tries, man. That would suck. Anyway, get back to the list. So, you pulled the list up.
I did.
Why don't you go through it?
You want me to read it?
I'll
read the list off.
Put words to the numbers.
All right. So, to note what the list is, it's PWI 500 ranks the top 500 wrestlers, male wrestlers. They also do a separate list for the women wrestlers. I think they do a top 50 or 100. I don't remember.
What if they don't identify as either gender?
Why do you keep going back to that? I feel like.
Because I saw something on that today and it made me think. So, like, because, like, when you greet somebody, you say hello, sir, or hello, miss. It's like, what if I misidentify?
I'll wait for them to correct me then.
Yeah. I had a big discussion about this and I read an article and I'm really.
You read
confused.
An article?
Yeah. Oh. I read it on a zine. I don't know. I think it was BuzzFeed.
A magazine?
No, it's like a zine you pass around.
Like a magazine. Like if I'm at the dentist and I'm waiting to get called in for my cleaning and I'm reading a magazine. Is that what kids call it? Zines? Is magazine too long of a word people say now? Zine.
I think
they say ooks. I'm gonna read an ook because I can't say book. Too long of a word. You want me to read the list now?
Okay.
So the period of time that this list is compiled from is, I think it's July to July. So it's July 2016 to July 2017. I'm not sure if it's mid-month to mid-month or whatever it is. But that's about the time period, just to get a feel for it. So it's not just like 2016 or 2017. It's mid-2016, about July to mid-2017 July. So the top 10 wrestlers that were named in order were number one was Okada, number two, AJ Styles, number three, Kevin Owens, number four, Roman Reigns, number five, Kenny Omega, number six, Shinsuke Nakamura, number seven, Dean Ambrose, number eight, Samoa Joe, number nine, Bobby Roode, and number 10 is The Miz. So that's the top 10 in the PWI 500 on the list.
Now, what is the grading scale? What do they grade them on? Match quality, superstar, or
wins, losses? I think this is a kayfabe list. So what I mean by that is it's wins and losses.
Tremendous terminology.
Yeah, it's wins and losses, and you know, I would think achievements in ring over the course of those 12 months. So it's not like who had better quality matches per se, or who's a better in ring promo or whatever. It's how many matches did you win? Did you win on pay per view? Did you win titles? Did you defend titles? How long did you hold them? That type of thing. So that's what my understanding of how the list is put together, which is probably why, you know, I'll just throw a couple of examples, right? So Okada was the champion, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion for most of that year, if not the whole thing. I have to look at where his title reign started, but he's been the champion for the bulk of that time, if not the entire full year.
I think he won in September. I could be wrong.
So just shy of
10 of the 12 months of the year.
Yeah. Right. So he was the champion for that long, and obviously he wins most of his matches. He doesn't get a lot. AJ Styles, again, if you look at him, he came into the WWE at the Rumble in 2016, right? So we're looking at, by mid-2016 of last year, he was beating John Cena, and then he was WWE champion all the way up until this January of 2017, and then he beat Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, and he since won the U.S. title a couple of times in the middle of the summer from there.
Okay.
So that's him. Owens had that six-month reign as Universal Champion on Raw, so that's, you know, his situation. Reigns, we can go through all that stuff with him. We know the deal with him. Omega, same deal, right? He won the G1 last August, had a title shot in January, won the U.S. New Japan United States title this summer. Nakamura was a two-time NXT champion in his time there. He started last WrestleMania, right? So he really didn't lose much until I think he lost to Samoa Joe. He only has a couple of losses probably on his record during that year. Ambrose spent a lot of time. He was a WWE champion at the start of it, was Intercontinental champion.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
He was Intercontinental champion for an extended period of time, about 5 or 6 months, I believe.
Was he a U.S. champion there too?
I don't remember if he was. Okay. I don't think he was. But Samoa Joe, again, NXT champion after Nakamura, did not lose a lot in NXT. Bobby Roode, I don't know when exactly he started, but he was NXT champion for the last at least few months of
Mania. He was champion.
Yeah.
So that's at least April.
He won it in January, I think, right?
Okay.
Or did he win it in January or March? January, I think.
Yeah, because he was champion in March.
Yeah, so again, he was champion for 6 months in here. And The Miz was Intercontinental champion for a very long time. The bulk of...
beat Ultimate Warrior, actually, in the longest reign.
Yeah. So he had the Intercontinental title for a lot of this. So that's where I think work. And I do believe that they count, like, house show victories and stuff like that as, you know, like, the guy's record during the course of the year, if he had 250 matches, was, you know, so guys like Miz when he's IC champ and Ambrose when he was a champion are probably winning or retaining the titles at all these house shows in addition to stuff on TV. So it builds up their win-loss records, and I think that's why these guys wind up in the top 10. And then they exclude guys like Lesnar because he's not around all the time, right?
I really don't even know because he wrestled maybe a dozen times total. Yeah,
Cena,
so I can see that.
Similarly, right? Cena doesn't wrestle a lot anymore, and when he does, he's not always winning.
I feel better knowing this is a kayfabe list, but when you look at it, 8 out of the top 10 guys are all in the WWE. You can't really say it's a PWI top 500. I just don't. It's if it's a kayfabe list, it's one thing. But like you have a guy, like I said to you, like Naito. Like Naito should be in the top five in the amount of matches he's won. He won the G. Well, I guess the G1 wouldn't count if it was July.
That's
right.
He was
the champion then for last year during this when this started
for a period of time. Right. He was a champion.
He was the champion. I just don't know that. I guess if it's a kayfabe list and it's going on wins and losses, you can't. I don't know. That just kind of sucks then because they wrestle 5 times a week. Of course, their win and loss record can be different than somebody who has 50 to 60 shows a year instead of 300 shows a year.
Well, I mean, Okada's number one.
Okada's number one because he's had the most prestigious title for the 365 days.
Well, that's a different conversation, but.
Okay. Well, I would say the WWE title isn't as prestigious as the IWGP heavyweight title right now because it's not ping pong back and their heavyweight title is not ping pong back and forth.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a conversation for another time.
Okay, but... all right. Well, if people want to, if you add in match quality too, I think Okada's a clear cut number one. AJ Styles, I think, is completely fair at number two. Kevin Owens, I guess, but there was a long time where he was going 50-50, on all these TV shows.
Yeah, there was. I mean, again, that's the thing. I think that's the key is to remember that it's you know, it's a list based off of, you know, it's a storyline. You know, it's a list. Right? It's not like a real life or behind wrestler. The scenes. Yeah, yeah, okay. It's not that type of thing, right? Like where it's here's like if that was the case, I'm sure they wouldn't have, you know, The Miz at number 10 and Dean Ambrose at number 7. Like those guys are probably not. Be in the top 10, I would assume, if they're different counting top 10 wrestlers in the world, right? Those guys would not, in my opinion, they would not be there. I'm sure there's two guys I could find that are better than them to put in the top 10. So, based off the fact that they were champions and they won a lot of matches in that period of time, I believe that's why they're on there. That's why the list maybe looks a little bit strange if you're looking at it as like, okay, who are the top 10 wrestlers in the last 12 months? And you're just thinking of like, okay, these, and you're just thinking of guys off the top of your head. Okay, yeah, if I'm looking at New Japan, it's probably Okada, Naito, and Omega are probably the top three that would come in there.
But
and
you know who else had a great year? Shibata. Shibata had a fantastic year from July to July. So
other when did he like get that. Hurt? Do you remember?
He got hurt at when he wrestled Okada. I think it was in April or May. So that gives him 9 months.
I only missed a couple of months in there. I guess that's not awful.
Yeah, but there's also nobody from Ring of Honor on this top 10 list either.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess if you look at the last year in Ring of Honor, if you go from July of 2016 to July of 2017...
O'Reilly was champ in December.
For like a month.
Yeah. Cole was champ pretty much from July to December, right?
Cole only won it in September. I think.
September, okay. And then he lost O'Reilly, and then he beat him, you know, then he beat O'Reilly again.
Yeah, Lethal was the champion for a long time, but he lost it in September, I think. So he was champion for maybe like 2 months, and then after that, he obviously started losing a lot.
Yeah.
So that's if you look at Ring of Honor and the top guys there, right? Lethal was the top guy. He lost the title, never really got it back. And then lost matches to Cody, and now he's losing matches to Silas Young, so he's kind of not had the best win-loss here.
Yeah,
he's had a
rough, yeah.
Cole was, you know, won the title in September, held it for 3 months, lost to O'Reilly, won it back from O'Reilly, right? And then lost it to Daniels.
And then lost to Skrull back-to-back.
But and then I mean, he's on his way out, he leaves.
To me, I just think if you're going to have, like, The Miz and Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe on there, you know, Adam Cole pretty much was the main event picture for Ring of Honor for a lot of those months. I feel like Yeah, but again, if it's kayfabe, but I just feel like he did more for the company than those guys did for WWE Next.
Yeah, again, I think that's probably not a point of measurement for them when they put this together. That's my guess is that they're not looking at
who is there. Do we have a name of a guy that of a schmuck to put this together?
I don't know. I don't know if there's one person. I think they have probably a group of their writers that write for PWI and those types of. I don't know which magazines they have, if they still have multiple. They used to have, like, The Wrestler and Inside Wrestling.
Oh, my God. The Wrestler was a great magazine.
And then PWI. So I think these are, like, Bill Apter's magazines, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm sure it's, like...
Apter's a mark.
Actually,
I met Bill Apter. Wasn't he at the...
Yeah, it was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy. We like him.
We're sullying his name. But, yeah.
I'm going to be sulling a lot of names lately, okay? I'm going to be sulling a lot of shit.
So I think that's where the list generates from. So, anyway, that's what it is. So that's where it comes from. I guess there's things that I'm sure there's arguments to be made for guys being included or removed from the list. But I think just knowing that it's based off of did guys win or lose and how successful were they over the course of the last 12 months, you can make an argument for most of those guys in there. And you can make arguments for guys that are outside. I could see Naito being a guy that you could want to maybe include in the top 10. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I mean, maybe Adam Cole, if you want to go that route. I was trying to think of guys from, you know, Impact or TNA. I really don't see. Anyway, they don't run house shows, right? So there's no extra stuff there. I mean, Lashley was a champion.
I was going to say Bobby Lashley.
I mean, you could.
Eddie Edwards had a really good year. He was a champion for a lot of that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case maybe for those guys being. I don't know where they finished. We have to find the whole 500 to see where they landed. But I'm sure there may be top 20 or 30. But, you know, I mean, the most, I think, publicized companies right now are WWE, NXT, and New Japan, probably. Yeah, and then when you look at the 10, that's where all those wrestlers came from, right? It's all WWE, NXT, or New Japan guys that are in the top 10, which I think is fair.
All right, you've swayed me. You're right. It just bothers me. I thought it was a shoot list at first. I always thought it was kind of like, you know, like a real list, like a real list of like the best wrestlers. But, you know, I guess when that list started, what year was that?
The POI 500?
Yeah, 1990?
I think it's early 90s, yes.
So that it was still kayfabe back then, right? So you can't really have a non-kayfabe list in a kayfabe time period. I think I just like saying the word kayfabe. Kayfabe, 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 kayfabe. That should be, yeah.
I wonder if it's actually kayfabe or kayfob, right? That'd be funny.
I thought it was kafabo.
Kafabo?
I thought there was an umlaut.
Kafaba?
Daniel Bryan was a 2014. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the list of overall guys.
91. Okay, so hold on. In 91, your top 10, Rick Steiner? What moron put... Here's your top 10 in 1991, starting from the bottom. Rick Steiner, The Enforcer on Anderson, Steve Dr. Death Williams, Ricky Steamboat, Scott Steiner, Sting, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, Lex Luger, and Hulk Hogan. Interesting.
It's quite the list.
What did Rick Steiner do in 1991?
You want to take a guess? I don't know if they may or may not have been the tag team champions at that point. And I know Rick Steiner had a run as TV champion at some point. I don't know if that was back in that year. We could look and see what he did, but it's possible that...
So 91. So this would be 1990 to 1991. I think in 90 was when he introduced Steiner Brothers. So if that was 90... World Championship Wrestling.
It doesn't even have his 1990 year listed here, so it's.
What did you take a year off?
I don't know. Tag Team of the Year in 1990, Match of the Year in 1991 with Scott Steiner versus Luger and Sting.
Wow, that's high praise.
So there's those things.
Wait, can we go back to that list? I'm gonna pick out people over the last couple of years that do not belong there. Wow, they had Taz in the top 10 in 1999. Rhino. Yeah, the more I look at this list, this seems like it's all just win-loss records.
K-Fob.
Yeah, K-Fob. Bobby Roode was number 2 in 2012. CM Punk was number 1. Who on here? This whole list. They had Rusev at 8 in 2015.
Yeah, probably when he had the U.S. title for a really long time.
For like that whole year, yeah.
And then he lost it to Cena at that year's WrestleMania. So, and he was kind of new at that point, right, to the main roster. So he'd won a lot of matches. Like a big, I think he was actually undefeated on the main roster, if I'm not mistaken, going into
until
that
Cena
match.
Yeah.
So he had a long run of winning. He won the championship.
That's
right?
Fair.
So that's probably why he's there. You know, you're looking at some of these things, right? I mean, it's 2011. The Miz was number 1. So, I mean, that's because he was the champion for however long he was a champion for, right? He
won it. I forgot about that.
Won it in late 2010 off of Randy Orton and kept it through WrestleMania, right? Beating Cena at WrestleMania and then finally lost it to Orton. Cena like a month after that.
No, dude, it's got to be who the best worker was because Batista was number 1 in 2005.
There is.
Now, problem solved. Now we understand. Now I get it. Okay.
So I mean, they sometimes go off the grid with some of these things. I remember famously we had the guy that one of the ROH shows randomly asked like who won the POI 500 in 1997. And I said Dean Malenko. So like he's there in 97 because he for whatever reason they decided that year that he won a lot of matches.
Yeah, I think he won the cruiserweight title, but yeah, so. Giant in 1995. Like there's not a lot of consistency. Like they have Sabu above Hulk Hogan in 1995. Sabu is sandwiched in between Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan. There's no way Sabu won that many matches that year. I'm sorry.
Workers, bro. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing in that year. I'm not as familiar. Like 2002, Rob Van Dam was number 1. So like,
Rob that's Van Dam when he won the heavyweight title, right?
He was never a world champion before in that range. That was when he was in 2000. If you look at if it's 2002 list, right, and we're saying that I don't know what year that's summer 2001, summer 2002.
Oh yeah, then there's no way because
he was in WWE the whole time. Yeah, he was like a hardcore champion, I think, and then I think he may have like unified some of the titles, like the Intercontinental title with the European title and the hardcore title around this period of time. So that may be why. But number 2 is Undertaker, number 3 is Great Muta, number 4 is Chris Jericho, number 5 is Eddie Guerrero, number 6 is Kurt Angle. Like
that's a list of best wrestlers to me that year.
Yeah, so they didn't necessarily go. I don't know, maybe this is a way that stood out. Like, if you're looking at the 2001, 2002 era, I would have figured it would have been, like... You know, I don't see Steve Austin on here, so maybe they took him out because he had, like, took that sabbatical and he walked out, and...
Stone Cold was back-to-back 98, 99. This is an interesting list. I'd like to see... I think in 2000... I have the 2005 book at work.
The Almanac?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun.
So I like going through those. So.
These are fun. It's fun lists. Like I wish I would have kind of kept up with it like each year to buy it, but I don't. Yeah, I think you can get it in like electronic form if you go to that website.
Yeah, I kind of like the actual magazine.
I do
form
as well.
Yeah.
But It's fun to like kind of flip through. But it's interesting. It's just kind of fun. Like, you read the little write-ups on the guys and like why they chose the people who, where they did. And
I'm sorry. This one is a little questionable to me. 1, 2, 3, 4. They have Booker T at number 7 for the year of 97 to 98. He was still in Harlem Heat by that point, right?
Where am I looking? Number 7? Right, yeah. 1998? That might have been...
That was 97 to 98. So it was July to July.
Might have been when he was like feuding with Benoit over the TV title or US title, whatever it was at that period, that time. And then that Best of 7 series. I don't know if that was in that year or not.
God, you're so good at this. I suck.
It could have been. I don't recall exactly, but it feels like that's about the time when that was happening.
And they had stunning Steve Austin at number 10 in 1992.
And number 6 in 1994.
What did Austin do from 91 to 92? He was with...
Dangerous Alliance, right?
Colonel Robert Parker in 92 to 93. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Like, that's another question.
He was in the Dangerous Alliance. I think, again, he might have been like a TV or U.S. champion around that time.
Well, 92 to 93, he was with Brian Pillman as a Hollywood Blonde.
Hollywood Blondes, yeah. Yep. So there's those things. They were tag champions. So.
I'm going to...
He was...
Ahmed Johnson. Sorry, Ahmed Johnson, number 5 in 95. That's awesome. I would really like to try to get all of these from the beginning and go through. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think I only have a couple.
That'd be my goal in life.
Something.
Forget everything else. I'm going to collect all of
I'm sure you probably could order them on back order. Like, I remember when I used to get these magazines when I was younger.
Yeah.
Are you motioning to me to look at something?
Yeah, I wanted to see the top 50 females. Sorry.
There, you could always order, like, back order certain, you know, issues if you wanted to.
They had, like, a check thing? Yeah, you check off which one you want?
I assume it's probably 20 years ago, so I don't know if they still do that. But I'm sure you could if you wanted to.
It is 20 years ago. So, PWI number 1 in 2008 was Awesome Kong. That's totally deserved for me because she was a savage that year. She was the impact, the knockouts division, I should say. Beth Phoenix, Gail Kim, Mickey James. Who's Mischief? Why do I know that name?
That's Elgin's wife.
No kidding, really?
Yeah,
That's good booking on your part. I had no idea. Ms. Schiff.
You can double check that if you like, but I believe.
Rachel Froebel.
Yeah, spouse, Michael Elgin.
How did you know Michael that?
Michael Charles Elgin.
Get out of here. Is that his real name?
No, I have no idea.
You know, my middle name is Charles.
That's a nice name.
That's a shoot.
My wife Charlie is
full. Michael Charles,
full named.
Jessica Havoc in 2013 was number 5. Lana Del Rey, cheerleader Melissa. Man, it feels like it was just yesterday. I was watching Mickey James do inappropriate things with Trish Stratus at WrestleMania.
I think it was yesterday that you were watching.
It actually was. Yeah. That's a shoot. That popped me. That's a shoot. Oh, man, that's cool. Well, I guess we'll see where we go. And who was number last year?
Charlotte.
Makes sense. Nikki Bella the year before. Paige was in 2014. I wonder if she's going to win it again next year. Am I right?
Yeah, she might. Yeah. She should win something.
Yeah. Maybe she could win one of the AVN awards. Am I right?
Nice. That's some sort of pornographic award show, Mike.
Yeah, it's Adult Video Network.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be porn awards. Like, you just be an adult who watches videos on a network.
Hey, listen. I'm not hating.
No, God, anybody. And speaking of the top 10, number 7 in 2013 was friend of the All Night Long Wrestling podcast, Casey Carlisle.
Sure was.
That's awesome. She beat out Tara, AJ Lee, Mercedes Martinez. That's awesome. That's good to see.
That's great. So, anyway, that covers the PWA 500 speak.
All right, listen, what do you want to talk? You want to talk fantasy football? You want to divert a little bit from the pro wrestling realm? What do you want to talk? I'm here for you. What do we talk?
I got nothing. I mean, listen, the next thing that's going to happen for me is I'm going to make frozen chicken nuggets for dinner and minute rice. That's what's going to happen when we're done wrapping up this podcast. So I'm not really inclined. I have no direction here for the last segment of our show.
Because nothing really happened on WWE this
week. No, I think the biggest thing that seemed to happen in the last week that I can remember was the whole sexy star Rosemary incident.
What a dick, huh?
From... Was it a AAA show? Is that what it was?
It was AAA Mania.
Triple Mania, right? So that seems to... That, in my head, for the last week, is the biggest thing that happened, which the story, as I understand it, was there was a match with some ladies going on involving Sexy Star, Rosemary, and
a stupid name.
I believe one other female that I... Name escapes me at this moment, but Sexy Star... Was it an arm bar that she had on Rosemary?
She had a straight arm bar on Rosemary from the mounted position, yep.
And I think actually it a tricep injury or something that maybe Rosemary suffered. Basically, I guess Sexy Star, it wasn't an accident. It was an intentional, like, she turned the move into a shoot-type move, I guess, where she was really, you know, cinching in an armbar on Rosemary, and kind of went into business for herself for whatever the reasons are that she did that. I don't think it's been explained yet. And as a result, Rosemary was injured, and it's caused all sorts of controversy on the internets from fellow independent wrestlers and really wrestlers, I guess, all in general, like, coming to Rosemary's defense and getting upset with Sexy Star about what she was doing and how she should be blackballed from, you know, being booked in other promotions. And
yeah,
you know,
she really screwed the pooch on this one. She alienated herself from like every single organization. And apparently the worst part is everybody loves Rosemary. Apparently Rosemary is like the nicest person. She's got such so many friends in the business, which, you know, that's awesome for her. But unfortunately for Sexy Star, if you're going to shoot on somebody, I wouldn't do it on somebody like that. And I don't know what had happened. I know apparently a couple of the girls, as you said, went into business for themselves during the match. And there was a couple of issues where, like, the spots were awkward and they weren't kind of bumping or they weren't selling for each other. And at the end, she locks in the straight arm bar, which... anybody who, you know, if you've ever trained jiu-jitsu or if you've watched a UFC, you know it doesn't take much to pop out an elbow, dislocated, tear a tricep, whatever it might be. So she put herself, you know, Rosemary let herself get put in the straight arm bar, of course, for the finish of the match. Then Rosemary tapped, and then you could see Sexy Star pinch her knees and kind of pop her hips towards the ceiling and kind of crack back a couple times. So it takes, you know, I could lock in an arm bar and pop out an arm in... man, 4 to 5 seconds tops. It doesn't take a lot. So it sucks to happen to Rosemary. I hope she's okay. Hope she's able to wrestle soon. Sexy Star came out and said something along the lines of, like, she was bullied. She's sorry. You couldn't really understand because it was translated from her language. I think she's Spanish or Portuguese. I'm not sure. But she posted something that had to be translated, and it didn't really make sense, and she didn't explain anything either. So I don't know. It's a very poor situation. It reflects poorly on Sexy Star, and I hope Rosemary's back in the ring soon.
Yep. So I think that's as far as wrestling stories or news goes this week. I think that's the biggest thing that happened, and I thought the PWI 500 coming out and being released, at least the top 10, was an interesting conversation to have and discuss. So. Is there anything else you wanted to get into? You want to talk about your fantasy football team?
I want to talk about Willie Sneed getting arrested for a DUI over the summer. Nobody talking about it. And then all of a sudden he gets suspended for 3 games. I got him in both my leagues sitting on the bench as what I like to call a lifesaver. Because, you know, somebody's going to get hurt and you're going to need somebody to come in there, fill your flex position, and have Drew Brees throw to him.
Pick up your boy Ted Ginn Jr.
TGJ?
TGJ, my friend. He's a starter on that team in Drew Brees' offense.
He is not. Right? Anybody who's a starter Thomas in Drew Brees' offense is going to catch 40 balls.
A little Michael Thomas action. You got Willie Sneed out of the lineup.
What's listen, you're a big fantasy sports guy. I'm a big fantasy sports guy. So we're going to go off into a little bit of fantasy football discussion here. How many drafts have you had?
So far, I've done 2.
Do you feel like the running back position is the most difficult this year it's been?
It's tough, I think, because after the first 2 guys... which is David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, I think you can kind of go in all sorts of different directions. I think LeSean McCoy is highly rated. Melvin Gordon is highly rated. Then you start getting into the Devontae Freemans and the Jay Ajayis, and I'm sure Jordan Howards. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody in the range here. But I think those are the guys really that... So I think once you get past the top 2, any one of those guys could... going McCoy's always been a good fantasy performer, but I think he's had a history of injuries in the past, and now he's kind of around a while, right? Like, he's been around for a little.
I just drafted him in the first round last week.
Yeah, no, I like him. I wasn't in the 2 drafts that I was in. It was they're both 12 team leagues, and I was in pick 12 and pick 10. I was in pick 12 in the 1 draft, and so by that point most guys were gone. So I took Ajayi because he was there at that time.
That's a great pick for 12. I'm a big fan of Ajayi.
I think it was Ajayi and Michael Thomas. I had the back to back. So, but then the other league I was in was a keeper league that I just joined, and I had the 3rd pick, which I would have ended up getting somebody really good, except that every team had kept 2 players from the year before, and it's a 12 team league, so there's 24 guys that were kept. So the best guys available,
like,
when the draft started,
Randall Cobb,
you know? The top 3 players available with the, on the, as far as rankings go, when I was picking at three, were Michael Thomas, Jordan Howard, and T.Y. Hilton. Those were the top three players available.
Michael Thomas, you went?
Michael, so I had third pick. So Thomas went with the first pick, and then the second pick took T.Y. Hilton. So I took Jordan Howard, which was fine because of the team that I inherited. I inherited a team. The league's been in existence for about 10 years, apparently. One of the guys left the league slash got kicked out. I inherited his team from last year. The two guys I kept were Jordy Nelson and Gronk. So I had a wide receiver and a tight end. I wanted to get a running back with my first pick in the actual draft.
Right.
But if Jordan Howard would have gone before me, I probably would have not taken a running back because all the other running backs that we just named
are gone. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
McCoy was gone. Gordon was gone. Bell, Johnson, Majai was gone. Freeman was gone. Like, all those guys were not available. So I would have had to go, like, deep into the draft to, like, find a running back. So I probably would have taken, you know, another receiver or somebody at that point. But they weren't. Luckily, Howard fell to me, and I just took him because I feel like he'll be okay.
Yeah, that's a safe bet. To me, like, if you're not getting a first-round running back, round 2, 3, 4, I don't think I touch running backs because you have so many of these. I think since Ezekiel Elliott last year, like, so many of these rookies are so highly rated. Like, I, as the biggest Cowboys fan I know, I didn't touch Zeke as far as I could throw him in any of my drafts last year because I don't trust him. You know, not because I don't trust him as a player, but I just can't trust a rookie. So you have McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, all going like first round, early second round. I can't waste a pick on that.
Yeah,
you know?
people jump at those guys.
They it's go wild tough. For those guys.
I think
I would take, me personally, I would take an Isaiah Crowell over a rookie because Isaiah Crowell, you have a year's worth of body of work. He's going to have a better team this year, and he's a stable, solid runner.
Yeah, it's tough. Like if you're looking at, like, let's say you pick third in a standard draft, like with a no keeper, right? So let's say I pick third in that draft, and the first two picks were, let's say they were David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, right? At that point, I'm not taking, like, Gordon or McCoy third. I'm taking Antonio Brown or somebody, or Julio Jones, somebody like that. So if you're in a 12-team league and you take a receiver third, and now you go all the way down to 12 and you come all the way back, like, who's going to be there on that when you pick, like, again in the second round? Like, are you going to have a choice of one of those, like, second-tier guys? Like, so if I was in that position, I don't know what I would have done. Like, I don't know if I would have taken a running back or if I would have stuck with a receiver that maybe I really liked to have, like, two stud receivers, or maybe taking Gronk if he was still there or something like that. Like, I don't know what I would have done in that spot. I don't know. I have, like, three drafts left. One draft is I'm picking 10. So, again, it's the same type of thing. I'm going to be late in the first round. I'm probably going to get, you know, somebody in that ilk.
Probably get the J. I think J.H.I. is going to have a great year.
Yeah, I'd like him.
I think they're going to throw the ball more, though, because you have Jay Cutler, and he's got Devonta Freeman and not Devonta Freeman. He's got Landry and Parker.
Right? Landry and Parker, yeah.
So he's gonna Jay Cutler. If it's between handing the ball off or throwing a 50-50 ball, he's gonna throw the ball downfield. So I had the fifth pick this year, and with all due respect to Odell, it's tough for me. I'm sure it's tough for you to, like, to draft the Cowboy, right?
I usually don't.
I also don't draft the Giants. Plus, with his ankle, I didn't trust it, so it was up to me. And the top, it went David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Julio, and then A.J. Green, believe it or not.
So Antonio Brown was still available at that point?
No, you're right. It was Julio and Antonio Brown. That's a back-to-back. So instead of taking Odell, I went LeSean McCoy because I feel like he's the only player on Buffalo that's going to have a decent year. He's a workhorse. And then in the second and third round, and I was like, there's no good wide receivers left, so I went Dez and I got Amari Cooper. And I was lucky enough to get Isaiah Crowell in the fourth round, who, like I said, I trust. And then after that, I went best player available, and I got Dalvin Cook. He fell all the way to the fifth round. You know, people are drafting him in, like, the second and third round.
Yeah, I think the other running back there is Latavius Murray. I'm not sure that anybody feels like he's going to dominate touches as far as the backfield's concerned there.
Right.
You know, he was decent in Oakland when he was with the Raiders, and then yeah, he left there, went to Minnesota. I honestly kind of forgot where he went until the last few weeks.
I had no idea. Yeah, I'm with you.
So I don't think he's going to be a feature player there. I would assume that Cook is going to get a lot of touches or opportunities.
That's what everybody keeps saying. But like Joe Mixon, would you trust Joe Mixon?
No, because there's already. I mean, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard are already there, and then you have Mixon. You know, in the grouping, I don't know who's going to get the carries. And quite frankly, You know, I had Hill last year on a team, and you can't trust him.
Like, so did I. He was, oh, that was terrible.
You know, I mean, and when Bernard went down with an injury for the year, you figured, all right, well, Hill's going to step it up because he'll be the main guy, and he still wasn't trustworthy, I think. Right. I mean, sometimes I was forced to start him because I had no choice.
Yeah, 65 yards on 16 carries and maybe a touchdown.
Yeah, on a good week, right? So,
and then he had that 1 week he rushed for 200 yards, and you're like, oh, he's back. And then it's like, damn it.
Yeah, he's not consistent enough. So I don't know what to think of Mixon. You know, on that team. That team seems like it's a little bit weird to me. I don't really know what to think of them. So
the only constants here, really, I mean, you have Tyler Eifert, you have AJ Green, and then you have Andy Dalton.
Big Red.
Big Red. So, like, they're going to be throwing the ball, you know? So
he's gonna try to get it to AJ Green as much as possible, I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you think of Leonard Fournette?
I don't know, because the Jaguars stink. Like, that's the problem. So
I wouldn't be surprised if Brock Osweiler went to the Jaguars, by the way.
I mean, you know. My friend suggested to me, which I thought made a lot of sense, which was Buffalo should trade Tyrod Taylor to Jacksonville, and he can play with Doug Marrone, who was in Buffalo as a coach for a while.
It's great booking.
And then they could just, Buffalo would just go with whoever they have, because I don't really know that they have a solution. It seems like they're trying to run Tyrod out of town at various points, and then he's in concussion protocol now. Like, I'm not really sure they trust him. You know,
he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but you know, if you build a solid team around him, it's a, what do they call it, a fire sale.
Yeah,
in Buffalo, they just, you know, they.
He was from the Rex regime there, right? Rex kind of had him and put him in as a starter for the 2 years that Rex was there, and now Rex is gone. So it's like he's got a new coach. You know, they probably really don't believe in him. He's banged up a little bit. You know, I don't know. My friend suggested that. I think that makes sense because, well, obviously, like, Bortles is, who the hell knows with him in Jacksonville. So
Double B.
Yeah, so like I don't know if I trust him or anybody. I had Allen Robinson on a team last year, thinking that DeBoer was going to really break out and be like a stud, and it was hugely disappointing. So
speaking of Allen Robinson, I took him this year, but I took him in the 7th round. Like, I'm not, you
know, that's not bad value for him.
Right. I figured at that point I had already had Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant. You know, Allen Robinson couldn't hurt, but like, you know, you have good guys on bad teams that are falling late. So all you need is somebody to get him the ball. You know. What was the toughest decision you've had this year in drafting? I feel like I'm interviewing you. I like this.
You know what it is? So the first draft we did, we were in Kyle's league.
Yeah.
And 12 team, that's the one where I had the 12 picks. So I had the back-to-backs. The toughest decision, I think, or one of the toughest every year, is when you take a quarterback, right? Do you jump on one early and try to get an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, right? I think are the consensus top three this year. Or do you keep filling up your skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, and a tight end, and then maybe wait on getting a second-tier quarterback, right? So you're looking at a guy like, I'm sure I'm forgetting guys, right? Like Mariota, Cam Russell Newton. Wilson.
Well, is Cam a third tier?
He used to be first tier, right? And then, like, now he's dropped significantly.
I feel like he'll have a good year, too.
Cousins is a guy, right? What do you do with Andrew Luck, right? He's banged up. We don't know when he's coming in, when he's going to start. He definitely seems like he's not playing week one. They don't know if it's going to be longer than that, but he's usually a pretty solid fantasy quarterback. I think that's the toughest thing.
No, actually, he sucked last year.
Last year, he was rough. I admit that. I didn't have him, but he was not good last year. But typically, he puts up, like, 4,000 yards and, like, 30 TDs and all those types of things. But that's the thing. So I waited a long time. In Kyle's draft, before I took quarterback, I don't even know what round it was, but it was definitely very late. And a lot of the top, the top tier quarterbacks were all long gone by that point. And I wound up with a combination of Phil Rivers and Andy Dalton. So I'm hoping that the rest of the team is strong enough to
propel you,
and you know, Rivers and Dalton can have their good weeks. It's just a matter of playing the right guy at the right time.
I'm trying to find what round you took him in. I am into the 9th round, and I still haven't seen you take him.
Yeah, I waited quite a long time. I think it was shortly after you were really looking, because it was
the last pick in the ninth round. Yeah,
so I took him at that point. I was looking. I think Carr and Luck both went in that round as well. And I was kind
of. Dak did too.
And Dak, yeah, I wasn't taking Dak. But the other, I was thinking of Carr or Luck. I'm like, I mean, I'll take Luck, and then I'll just take somebody else as a backup and play the backup, and then, you know, roll with Luck after that. But he was taken, and then Carr was taken. And now I was looking at Rivers, Dalton, and I forget who the other options were at that stage. Maybe like a Newton or somebody was there. I didn't really want him. So that's what I ended up doing. The other draft I was in, I took a quarterback a little earlier. That was the keeper league.
Right.
So Rodgers and Brady were both already kept. Breeze went
slimmer pickings,
Breeze went pretty early. And I ended up taking one. I don't remember if it was the 4th or 5th round, but I ended up taking Russell Wilson there, so I wanted to get somebody kind of in that
sure
that mid, you know, second tier quarterback range.
I think he's fringe for a second.
He is. Yeah. A lot of people seem to think he's going to have a really good year with like some of the weapons that he has. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I think I like him this year, so I feel comfortable with him. But that's probably the toughest decision for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. Ideally, what I like to do in my first three picks, I like to go wide receiver, running back, QB. And QB always third pick, but you know, you got to kind of see how the draft shakes out. I'm not going to, and if I'm taking a third pick and Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers are gone, then I'm going to wait. And that's what I did. So I wound up getting, in both of my money leagues, I wound up getting Marcus Mariota. And I got him in the fifth round in one league, and in the other league, I got him, I believe, in the fifth round too. I mean, I feel like a fifth round for Marcus Mariota, it's not bad value, considering his upside, come back from the injury. But in one league, I backed him up with Andrew Luck, and the other league, I backed him up with Jay Cutler. So, I mean, there's Mariota. Actually, I got him in the sixth round, the other one. So it really depends. But I didn't even mean to, and I drafted five of the same guys in both leagues. One league I had fifth pick, the other league I had ninth pick. I hate, like, the five through nine spot because it's so far, you know, it's so far between picks. Anybody you queue up is like, ah, they're going to be taken. So I love fantasy football so much. I was talking to BK because I was listening to Fantasy Sports on Sirius, mm-hmm. and this one jabroni was just saying how he was an accountant. He quit his job, and now he makes six figures a year playing fantasy football. Here I am, Joe, still slinging vitamins, man. Selling houses and slinging vitamins.
There's a guy that I work with who told me that his cousin plays video game tournaments and like around the world. And he just gets like flown to different places or wherever it is and does these tournaments. And he makes like, I don't know exactly how much bank, but he makes like good money. And he just plays Call of Duty for a living, basically, is what he does. And then he finishes like top 10 and he gets a check and he comes home. He goes to like whatever, like Hamburg, Germany or something like that or whatever it is. And that's what he does for a living. I was like, oh, that's, I clearly made a lot of poor decisions.
There's a kid I'm friends with from high school. He goes around, he plays Tekken, the fighting game Tekken, like professionally. Goes to Texas, goes to X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, here you and I are. I would say we have 9-to-5 jobs. We don't. We have like 8-to-8 jobs.
Yeah.
You know, weekend to holidays and all that stuff. And there are people playing fantasy football and Tekken and Call of Duty professionally making more money than I do. That's a rough realization, huh?
It is.
It's one of those days you want to wake up and kick yourself in the nuts.
But yeah, I like fantasy. I'm a big fan of fantasy too. But especially now, because you're kind of, you're putting your team together, you're doing the draft. When the season starts, it can go in
frustrating
different directions. If your team or teams are not performing well, and then you're trying to get guys off the waiver wire and you can't, and then all of a sudden you're just to a point where your season tanks, and you're just like,
you know why? Because you're in a league with Camille. Got to be the worst fantasy football player. Here's a Frosty and a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger for Le'Veon Bell and your firstborn. I hate people that send those trades every 30 seconds. I'm going to give you three third-round picks for your first and second. Shut up. Shut up. God. But I can't wait for football. Anyway, I appreciate you all listening to us this week. And a little bit of a different edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. No, a little bit. We're veering off the beaten path here. I'm going to remind you, you can either send us questions about professional wrestling, send us questions about fantasy football, send us questions about football, send us questions about Miami Vice, because I'm now watching Miami Vice Season 1, Episode 1 from the beginning. Listen, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, All Night Long WP on the space there, the face space. Facebook.com/AllNightLongWP, at AllNightLongWP on Instagram and Twitter. Damage 365 Radio Network and ProWrestling.com, maybe. If just gotta get that, gotta get up. That
only
up there.
During lunar eclipses. Solar
eclipse, whatever it is. That's very true. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We're tapping out. He's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer.